Well, hello, everybody. I hope you all had a great summer. As we now venture into the next 5 months, what has been a very crazy off-season, the likes of which we've never seen in men's college basketball, or just college sports in general. I'll get to that in a moment. But first off, welcome to my first-time members, and also to the other readers that have joined me and have savored my podcast in years past. You may have noticed I changed my blog, my podcast title. Although I kept my general blog title the same at 40minutesofhoopsfun.wordpress.com, I have changed my podcast to make it a little more with a little punch, basically, to make it more memorable in certain aspects. And it's simply called Big Z College Hoop Central. Yes, based on my nickname from college way back in the day, it's going to be promising you not just the usual stuff about the games, the key highlights, and some interesting little quotes that the broadcasters and analysts mention from time to time, but I'm also going to be highlighting some rather interesting points about some of the players and some general tidbits about some of the aspects of what has made this game more interesting. Now, before I dive into that, there were a couple of key points involving what happened this past summer. Just days after Baylor pounded Gonzaga in the national championship game at the quarantine-filled Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, where all the 67 tournament games were played in the Hoosier State, that one brave Oregon woman briefly mentioned on her TikTok the inadequate facilities used for the women's Final Four in San Antonio, Texas. It looked like a junior high school type of setup. But for the guys, took up basically three hotel ballrooms, and they had everything they ever needed. Almost like an NFL facility, if you had to ask me. Obviously, that's going to be leading to a lot of changes going forward, especially in the women's sports, which they've been clamoring for so long. They deserve it, basically. They should be on equal footing, if not bigger footing. But basically, they should have similar facilities like the men. But there's some even bigger points that took place during the summer months. The transfer portal was one. Over 1,400 student-athletes took part. Most of them decided to transfer without penalty thanks to this thing called COVID-19. And yes, I've been saying since day one that this virus is indeed a thing, a living, breathing thing. Some decided to stay, like Kofi Coburn of Illinois, Max Abmas of Oral Roberts. Nobody heard of this guy even before the tournament. He was like Stephen Curry before we knew who Stephen Curry really was. Once upon a time at Davidson in 2008. But once the NCAA tournament rolled around, just like Curry, Abmas went off. I mean, he had some monster games. And look for him to be getting a major key portions of the spotlight in this coming year. Another key point of this summer that also caused some major rumblings across the college landscape was NIL, name, image, and likeness. Once the Supreme Court ruled in the NCAA versus Alston case 9-0, the Supreme Court justices basically laid more than just the hammer. They basically rewrote what college sports should be like, as they have basically mentioned why the NCAA has been the most archaic organization, not only in sports history, but American history in general. No one should be treated like that. Nickel and diming student athletes who work so hard and basically have to go outside of campus to earn various funds to help keep their families afloat and maybe go out with their friends, which of course was all, you know, the going out part was basically, you know, cut off to, you know, having the equivalent of room service thanks to this pandemic. But now if social media since July 1st, student athletes have been hogging up Instagram, and especially on Twitter, and the simple fact that you can get as much money as you want. Hook on with some employers and companies, businesses of all types, big and small. Even the big tech and video game companies are chipping in. I will hope to highlight some of the major basketball athletes, both on the men's and women's sides, on a periodic basis. Whatever strikes me, and whether it's a national mention or even local to their own campuses, it deserves to get highlighted in my mind. The final aspect, of course, which is going to have the biggest repercussions in terms of the general scope of how the games are going to be scheduled, but in my mind also, it's going to change how we know the NCAA tournament will be set up in terms of the general brackets and the overall seeding process, which I'll talk about hopefully for another day. Once Texas and Oklahoma decided to leave the Big 12 and eventually bolt to that football factory known as the Southeastern Conference, many other schools decided to take action. Namely, the tradition-rich Big Ten, the Atlantic Coast Conference, which traditionally was one of the best basketball programs in the 20th century, and the Pac-12 in the West. Each of their commissioners decided to form an alliance. Not so much against the SEC's practices in dominating the sport, thank you ESPN, but it also gave reasons that will resonate with how student athletes are going to have to travel a lot. No longer will be just regional matchups like you're used to seeing. Like I was watching when this podcast was being recorded here on Saturday, October 30th, the in-state rivalry with Michigan and Michigan State. Other times, of course, the Battle of Los Angeles, Lipstick City, when Southern Cal meets UCLA. North Carolina and Duke, just 8 miles away up Tobacco Road. We'll be getting more into that as we get closer to the end of the season. And the always bigger highlights of Coach K, the greatest coach ever in the history of the sport. The farewell tour to all end all farewell tours. Mike Krzyzewski to hang up the whistle after 42 years. Just wait until it'll be interesting to see how the media is going to perceive it, as we're basically just going to give off a general countdown to the final weeks. But of course, at Duke, he's not thinking about that word. He just wants to just continue to coach his team, while the coach in waiting, John Shire, the longtime assistant, will be poised to take over this time next year. We also noted, besides other conferences in realignment, each of the key moments of how the conference is in playing, there are going to be some interesting teams that will hopefully be jockeying for proper position. Led by Gonzaga, UCLA, coming off their miracle Final Four run, and probably some of the big top tier of the Big Ten, led by Michigan, Purdue, returning most of their starters, and Illinois, minus Ayo Dosunmu, who's taken his act to the Chicago Bulls of the NBA. I've been really noticing, after reading over like 36 articles in the past 3 weeks, every coach keeps, an assistant coach keeps mentioning how they're going to try to implement certain players and how they're going to try to make them really work hard. And even with the fact that with NIL, they're going to be earning a lot of money, to say the least. But I find that it's going to be very interesting to see how the games will affect how much money they will earn. But you know, certain points about some of the key conference races I will be monitoring a lot, besides just the Big Ten, the SEC. Of course, Kentucky will lead the way, and Arkansas and Alabama, a couple of teams that surprised this past season. They're definitely going to be worth checking out. And as I mentioned in The Athletic back on October 18th, their style of play will definitely give Kentucky some tense times, but it remains to be seen if both are going to be in the conversation come February. And what the managing editor of The Athletic, the third chair, of course, you see on CBS Sports, known as Seth Davis, he replied to my comment as saying, quote, "Could not agree more. Those teams will not only be successful, but be lots of fun to watch." I agree on that, Seth. No question about that. Now, before I get into some of the interesting things about my blog, I hope you get the chance to explore what I mentioned in my ad earlier about why Anchor.fm is such a fun tool in how to make your podcasts. I do realize a lot of you have writer's block sometimes, or in this case, podcast block, where you just try to just come up with a topic. You just can't put it into words. Well, in the 20th century, when I learned back in school, we had a term called writer's block in terms of journalists and how to put pen to paper. Or later on, just getting those keys ready so you can type on the computers, the early computers that Radio Shack used to have, and just putting it out there and then eventually printing it for your teachers. It just depends on, you know, what you're passionate about. And my passion is men's college basketball. Although I do like enjoying, you know, sometimes, you know, in a periodic world when I need to calm down a little bit, there are a couple of interesting artists, you know, I follow in the indie rock world. Too many to even mention. But of course, you might as well just start off with one of the ladies you might have heard about a lot prior to shutting down on social media. She came out with two albums this year. Chemtrails Over the Country Club, and an album that just came out this past week that was originally supposed to come out on Independence Day, Blue Bannisters. I'm talking about Lana Del Rey. She's done a lot of interesting stuff. And even some other artists that I've periodically follow on the Tamara Lindemann from Canada, The Weather Station. She does a lot of good stuff. But, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, of course, with party and dance music, there's so many at the top. But, of course, one of mine that I really dig a lot is Jessie Ware. That's J-E-S-S-I-E from the United Kingdom. She even has her own podcast with her mother called Table Manners, where she invites a bunch of celebrities and artists to virtual conversations from their London kitchen. So I find that quite amazing. Just a little shameless plug, I know, but I hope you get a chance to enjoy their podcast whenever you get the chance. But I will mention a couple of those key things in my next little while. But I hope you get a nice chance to take a little break, and I will be doing too. So we'll be back in just a moment with more updates for you. Welcome back, everybody. There will be many interesting storylines to watch. The big men in the Big Ten, the steady guards around the ACC and the Big East, some key players like Johnny Juzang of UCLA, Cody Riley, Tiger Campbell, the return of Trace Jackson Davis at Indiana, the beginning of the Hubert Davis era at North Carolina, Paolo Banchero trying to become the player of the year for Duke, minus the overall hype that Zion Williamson brought to the sport a couple of years ago. There will be whole many stories to watch in this coming season. Even the Boeheim brothers, led by Buddy, trying to help his father and trying to win yet another national championship for Syracuse. Again, they're going to be in the bubble conversation, no question about that. And, of course, amongst the ACC, who's going to be the next to retire? Jim Boeheim of Syracuse? Jim Larranaga of Miami, Florida? Or maybe Mike Bray of Notre Dame? there are going to be plenty of coaches out there that are going to be getting way up in age towards the likes of Al Michaels, the play-by-play announcer for NBC on Football Night in America. You will also notice, especially in my blog, there are a bunch of interesting things that I was able to discover. Among them, of course, this is going to be a very special year for what was called the Tiffany Network, or in my era, referred to as the BlackRock, as CBS celebrates its 40th anniversary covering college basketball. And what a run it's been. I could still go remember to the days when we used to have Pat Ewing against Mike Jordan. That's when the graphics used to look. It's a true story. And of course, when we get to April, the same venue that hosted that very first championship game inside a dome, it'll be the Superdome in New Orleans, undergoing a bunch of name changes ever since the last several years, which I have really lost track of, especially with the Saints finally returning home after that very devastating hurricane earlier this, back in August, Hurricane Ida. But I just wanted to make sure, even with that Delta variant continuing to lurk around, there will be some key rules changes to watch, especially involving the flopping rule, where players pretend to fake as if they were getting fouled and the ball comes out of their hands. Hopefully that'll get, finally curbed away. The personal foul limit might increase, from what the NBA has to 6. And they're going to try to experiment in the NIT for next year. Let's just say, for example, if a player has 1 foul in the first half, but he would be disqualified after picking up 4 in the second half. And likewise, if they had 2 fouls in the first half, they could be disqualified for 4 in the second half of games. The caveat of this is that each player only would have a maximum of 4 fouls allowed per half, to not so much to slow the game down. But here's the key thing. If a player commits 4 fouls in a single half, they would be disqualified. But I really think an interesting little nugget, any team timeout can serve or replace the familiar TV timeouts. Let's say if the team called a timeout like at the 17 and 18 minute mark and a half, that would replace the timeout at the 16 or under minute mark. So in other words, we wouldn't have double the commercials. I can recall a time where even when back when CBS held every game and they had the exclusive rights to cover the tournament in the 90s and the 2000s, a player would miss a free throw and there would be nonstop action for at least 3.5 minutes. TV timeout. Then another 45 seconds later, play is stopped beyond 16 minutes or 12 minutes. Another TV timeout. So all the commercials would be played. A foreshadowing of what the NFL has become in the last several years. Speaking of which, I have a couple beefs against the National Football League. One of them is the end to Super Wild Card Weekend. Instead of having the early Saturday window where everybody likes to shop, you will now have a game on Monday night, thanks to ESPN. Of course, it'll simulcast on ABC, and of course, that great Omaha production group led by the newly minted Pro Football Hall of Famer in Peyton Manning, and soon to be joined by his brother, 2-time Super Bowl champion of the New York Giants, Eli Manning. Even bigger than that, in getting rid of a couple of big Mondays, the following month, at Super Bowl 56 in SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, it will happen on Valentine's weekend. Oh, I can bet millions upon millions of ladies getting all their body chemistry ready to meet their man, drink a lot of wine, have some great chocolates, and then you all know what's going to happen next, the likes of which you can only dream about, but I just don't want to feel like saying it. Unless, of course, I do meet a nice woman down the road. Matter of fact, I wanted to make sure I get this in a little bit and dedicate this blog to a couple of very special ladies who might be listening. I wanted to say a special dedication to Cody, C-O-D-Y, Nicole, and a few other ladies who are too numerous to mention. But I wanted to give also a special shout out to one of the many frontline workers trying to help us get through this long and never-ending pandemic of our the worst one of our lives. To one of the nurse practitioners named Amy, thank you for recognizing back in the spring on the infection that nearly caused my throat to hope maybe would have been a major breaking of my vocal cords. But thank goodness I still have a voice. That way I can talk about college basketball and some other interesting little topics generated by the sport that I love. The selection committee, when we get to that point in late February and early March, and you could see Joe Lunardi practically on every program every single day and night from the day after the Super Bowl on to Selection Sunday, there will be 12 committee members instead of 10. But luckily, the two people that they brought on, one of them was a former coach, Barry Collier, current athletic director for his alma mater at Butler. He helped bring the Bulldogs to the NCAA tournament in 1997, you might recall. And then there were a couple other key additions. As Big Ten is going to be represented this year by the director of athletics at Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, Mark Coyle. And, of course, you're also realizing some of the other key people with mainly a bunch of commissioners, Charles McClellan from the SWAC, Bernadette McGlade of the Atlantic 10, and a couple other key people from athletics at Toledo, Mike O'Brien, Jamie Pollard of Iowa State, Chris Reynolds of Bradley of Peoria, Illinois, Bubba Cunningham, of course, you saw him in the headlines at North Carolina in the spring, and they were trying to conduct the search to replace the retired Roy Williams. Keith Gill, director of the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference, he previously worked for the A-10 for a couple of years. But one of the head scratchers, of course, will be UCLA's athletic directors, Martin Jamond, two-year captain at North Carolina Wilmington. And back in the day, he led them to the school's ever first NCAA tournament appearance in 2000. Look it up. But of course, the main trigger guy, the guy that will get most of the FaceTime, especially on CBS, once we get to selection weekend, the committee chair, replacing Mitch Barnhart from Kentucky, will be Tom Burnett, commissioner of the Southland Conference. But as for a few former coaches who were recently fired for poor performance at their respective schools, they have landed in probably one of the most unprecedented coverage of the sport. Led on a bunch of interesting platforms. Rob Doster, formerly of NBC Sports' college basketball podcast, and a cast of dozens will come the Field of 68 After Dark. Jeff Goodman of Fox Sports also is one of the main participants. And they have a whole slew of interviews with coaches and even broadcasters as well. Again, you can all find it on YouTube. The key point that I'll be doing every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Pacific time, will be the Field of 68 After Dark, a one-hour conversation and highlight show where they'll even talk to players and coaches, sometimes right after their meetings with the press. I'll tell you, this is going to be fascinating to see how they're going to structure the show, and they're going to be actually beating SportsCenter of ESPN at their own game. Because obviously, they're going to be so in tune with, obviously, college football between now and mid-January with the endless bowl games, of course, dominating basically 3 weeks in December outside of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You have hockey a couple of times. Welcome back, NHL, after a 16-17-year absence. And every NBA Wednesday and Friday night. They pretty much have a loaded schedule. But there's still always the weekends. Especially with the women's game mostly dominating on Sundays. We got the men from around noon to midnight on Saturdays. There'll be some interesting contests. Of course, I'll be mentioning some of those key games you can see in my blog. Again, that's at 40minutesofhoopsfun.wordpress.com. Again, that's F-O-R-T-Y, minutes of hoopsfun.wordpress.com. There'll be plenty of other interesting storylines to note during this upcoming 2021-2022 season. And I will hope to guide you every step of the way. But in one of my next blogs, will be one of my little interesting blogs as I get to play a little fun and get some much-needed humor in my life, I will try to document which of the 68 schools will earn the coveted invites to the 2022 NCAA tournament once Selection Sunday rolls around on Sunday, March the 13th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. There'll be storylines aplenty, and I'm sure hopefully you will all get some enjoyment. And as always, please feel free to leave some comments, especially here on my podcast on Apple Podcasts. Rate it 5 stars, please. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, like everybody else says. You can also see my podcast on many other platforms as well, including Spotify and a few other interesting sites. So you'll be able to find out how it is of interest. You can see it also on Castro, Bullhorn, and Overcast. So if you have those platforms, you can check it out there as well. And there will also be some interesting people, even in Europe, are actually hearing my pod. Even in Europe with the likes of Germany and Ireland. Who knew? But we wanted to thank especially... noticing my statistics from my dashboard at anchor.fm, most people in their 30s and 40s, and even people up to around 59 are actually checking my pod. But hopefully you 18 to 22-year-olds, get on board, please. I want to hear from you guys. After all, this podcast is for them as well. But I hope you all enjoyed it. As my season preview is now online at 40minutesofhoopsfun.wordpress.com, I hope you can also leave comments there on that and any of my other past blogs and here on anchor.fm for the podcasts. So again, check me out on the WordPress app for the blogs, which I post way more frequently, and my periodic podcasts. And hopefully soon, if any sponsor is out there, look me up, please, at Big Z College Hoops Central. And I'm sure you'll be able to find out my username, again, is just for the first time mentioning it this season. It's BigZman34. Again, that's B-I-G, the letter Z, last name, letter of our alphabet, M-A-N, and the number's 34. So again, you can look it up my blog at 40minutesofhoopsfun.wordpress.com. As I say goodbye for now, and I hope you all have a very happy Halloween. And if you're listening after Halloween, I hope you have a great November. And make sure you don't eat too much candy now, okay? I'll just save mine for another day and making sure that everything is eaten in moderation. We don't want anybody to go to the hospital now, especially on the other front with this virus continuing to dominate. And to make sure that the cases are hopefully down to a minimal as we hope to get the hospitalization rates down, as the booster shots are finally being administered to senior citizens with or without underlying conditions, all first responders and frontline workers, without whom we wouldn't be on this earth in the first place. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you have a very good holiday weekend. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. Bye for now.